Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this morning. God, our prayer right now is not that Bob or I would have great wisdom to share. Our prayer is that your Holy Spirit would speak right now. We want to listen to you. Bob and I want to be used by you, but the important thing is that every heart opens up to you right now. So, Jesus, we invite you to speak. Amen.
Amen. I hope this prayer time that we're doing during the music is helpful for you. It's certainly helpful for me. And so we like having an extended time where we can just more leisurely pray rather than at the end when everybody's kind of itching to go home. So hopefully that's helpful to you. Jake and I want to act out a little something here. So I'm going to pretend to be me. And I got that down. Jake has a little tougher stretch. He's going to pretend to be Jesus. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. So there you are. Yeah. Yeah. So when I was a senior in high school, right about this time of the year, I started getting interested in God. I didn't go to church. I was one of those kids that showed up on Christmas and Easter most years. But I didn't have a church background. And so even though I was sort of interested in him, just like Jake is pretending to be Jesus way far away from me, that's how it was. Jesus was way far away. He was distant from me. And I was sort of interested, but I wasn't connected, all right? And so I did a little reading of the Bible and not much, but a little bit. Didn't go to church. And you all have heard me tell the story of the guy who kind of bugged me and bugged me and bugged me to come to church with him. I'm so thankful that he didn't give up on me because I ended up in church. And I can't tell you what the preacher said, and I can't tell you what they sang, and I don't think any was very good, to be honest. But God was good. And so I met the Lord that night, and my whole life changed. So here's what it looks like. You see how Jake is coming towards me? I sort of came to him, but the truth is God comes to people. And we just shook hands. A lot of times when you invite Jesus to be your Savior, it's like a handshake. It's like a beginning. Now, let me tell you what you have to pray, because there are very specific words you have to pray to become a Christian, right? Here's what I prayed. I didn't know what to say. I said, God, you can have my life. I didn't know to put Dear Jesus or all those things that we say now, and I didn't know how to say in Jesus' name at the end. All I knew to say was, I'm yours. Okay, it doesn't matter how you say it as long as you commit your life to Christ, all right? You give your life to him. And so it was a handshake, but he didn't leave me alone, and we're going to kind of walk this out, all right? So he's Jesus, I'm Bob. This is what we did, all right? He has walked by me year after year after year, and I've had some moments where I was just exalting God. You know, I was so happy and I was so thrilled and I was so blown away. And I've had some other times when I was down here at the bottom and I had to go low to find a snail. I mean, I've had both of those times. I've had some things that stretched me and were so hard. You get in situations where you just don't know what to do. You all have been there. And I chewed the inside of my mouth one time until it bled because I didn't know what to do with my emotions. And, you know, you've been in all of those situations too. Here's the thing. He never left me. He walked with me through all of those experiences, the highs, the lows, the goods, the bads, the confused, the sinful, the broken, and all the above. He was there as my best friend. All right, if you're here today, this is just stop right here. If you're here today and you are looking in and you've never had that meeting with the Lord where you gave him your life, don't leave without doing that. Don't stop without doing that. And if you're here today and you're walking with him, don't let the things of life kind of get you off kilter. There are folks who say, I tried God and I gave up on him because I didn't get what I wanted. Folks, don't give up on him. Stay with him. Hang with him. Walk with him. He is your best friend. He will be your best friend. Stay with him. All right? Now, just real quick, and I'll be quiet. Sometimes, yeah, thank you. Sometimes this gets confusing when you're first starting. I mean, I remember when I started with the Lord, I didn't know anything about Him. I was in college, and there was a girl I wanted to ask out. I didn't know what to do. So I remember sitting in the park in the front seat of my car, and I pulled out a quarter and said, God, if it's heads, I'll ask. God, if it's tails, I'm not. I didn't know what to do. All right, came up heads. We dated for a while, all right? We all have to learn this stuff, all right? We all have to learn it. And so just get started with the Lord and stay with Him, all right? Now, Jake is going to take us a next step, because to tell you the truth, some of the best things that happened to me was when I took the step that Jake is going to talk about, and I'm telling my story. There are a lot of people in here who could tell your story too. We're going to hear from some of them who have taken the next step of saying, okay, Lord, You reach out to people, I'm going to be Your hands and Your feet to reach out to people. So, Jake, why don't you kind of take us further on that?
Yeah, so we've been challenging everybody that's been coming to our small groups, and hopefully you've been praying for them in March, been challenging them to go out and share a very simple Bible study with some other people. And so we're going to watch a quick video here in just a second of our small groups. If you want to come on Wednesday night, you can find out more about how to lead a little Bible study like that. Really, really simple approach to sharing what basically God's Word has to say for people. We've been reading a passage in Luke 10, and we're going to read some of it today. And the setup for that is Jesus tells a group of 72 of His followers, hey, go out and share My message with other people. Get people ready to receive Me. And so He sends them out. Well, today we're going to be talking about what happens when they came back. And when they came back, they all had facial expressions kind of like this. They were very excited. Okay, so more than the people in the small group even. They were really on fire and excited. What were they so excited about? Well, they were excited about the fact that Jesus sets people free. Is anybody excited about that here in the room right now? Yeah? Yeah. So Jesus sets people free. He's been doing it for a long, long time. So here's what they said. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in Your name. This idea that forces of evil that have been hurting our community that we could never control before, that now people are being set free from that sort of stuff. So these people are really, really excited. I heard a lot of people cheering about Jesus sets people free. What we're going to do right now is give everybody the chance to share one way that Jesus has set you free. If you've known Jesus for very long, He's probably set you free. Maybe it's from an addiction. Maybe it's from some character flaw that you always struggled with. I don't know what it is for you personally, but go ahead and share right now with somebody close to you. What's a way that Jesus set you free? So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of time. Now you get to talk.
Stand up and do it.
Yes, you can stand up and share, or you can sit down and share, but share with somebody close to you. Tell them how Jesus set you free. Set Donnie free from meth. Okay, guys, bring it on back. Hopefully you heard from maybe multiple people. Okay. So lots of cool stuff going on. I see people still talking. That's good. So Bob is going to tell us, though, I assume, you know, once Jesus sets you free, everything's just easy in your life and you never have any more problems. So... maybe not. So what do the next couple verses say, Bob?
So let's look at the next verses. There we go. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And I just want to stop. Some of you all, maybe many of us, whether we knew it or not, we have been able to walk through the snakes and the scorpions of life without getting bit. All right? And some of us have been bit, and yet we have survived, and we've lived to tell the day and never to go back to the snakes and the scorpions of life. Right? I have a lot of people who say to me, I have this demon. And they usually are talking about their past and about addiction and about those sort of things. And the beauty of God is He sets us free from that has grabbed hold of us and held on to us, okay? But that last phrase can really trip us up. Nothing will harm you. You know, if we were to get to heaven and have a question and answer session with God, I'm sure there'll be about a million people in line who would say, well, God, I gave my life to you, and my world just flipped upside down. It was very difficult. It was very hard. It was very painful. I went through some things that just nearly tore my heart out. And God, I look at that verse, nothing will harm you. Man, I've really been harmed. Life has been hard. I've served you, and life's been difficult. And so, y'all, can you get with that a little bit? We understand that? Guess what? I don't have an answer for that. I have people all the time who say, why did God let whatever it might be happen? And my answer is, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. It is one of the toughest things in the world to answer. I do know this. God is holy, which means he is perfect. He is just, which means nothing ever goes by him that's unjust. And God is full of love. Anything that happens to us is full of those qualities completely. The best thing I know to do is to do like Jake and I were doing earlier. Jake's pretending to be Jesus, and I'm Bob. And God is walking by you. When hard things come, the worst thing you can do is to leave church. When hard things come, the worst thing you can do is to quit praying, to quit talking to God. You may not know how to figure it out, and you may have to really wrestle. The whole book of Job was a book where Job had hard things happen, and he was mad as could be at God. And he told God how mad he was and how upset he was and how unfair it was. But that opened the door for God to come do something in his life. And so, you know, if you get nothing out of our message, get this. And that is that if you're over here away from God, go over and pretend, Jesus. get over there with him. Stay with him. Let him hold tight to you. And don't go away no matter what happens. All right? So, Jake, why don't you go from there?
Yeah, so a lot of people get really, really excited, just like the disciples, about all the bad stuff that Jesus can set us free from. And the disciples, when they came back at first, they said that's the big thing, is that God set people free from bad things in their life. Jesus is going to tell them, like, slow down. You're getting off track. And if you're here today and you came to church and you've been coming to church because you want Jesus to set you free from something, and maybe that's the only reason you're here, I want you to know today that Jesus does a lot more than set people free. Amen. Jesus does a lot more than set people free. Let's read in verse 20 what he talks about, what's really important. He says to them, however, this idea of like you're getting too excited in the wrong direction, however, do not rejoice that the spirits, talking about evil, submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What is he talking about there? He's saying all the stuff that's evil over here that we want to get free of, that is bad. And if you start following God, he is going to start setting you free from it. But he says that's not where things end. And that's not the thing to get really excited about. The thing to get excited about is, like Bob's been talking about, is that Jesus wants to walk through life with you. Jesus wants to show you what a good life actually is. That's a hard thing for most of us to grasp. Most of us think, well, if only I could get rid of my drug addiction, or if only I could stop saying terrible things to my spouse, or if only I could stop looking at pornography, or if only I could whatever, then my life would be better. And that's how most of us think. And when we come to God, we say, God, set me free from this chain so that I can be happy. And God says, I want to do so much more than just take one thing off your shoulders. So this speaker here is kind of going a little nuts on us, guys. But I want to give you a pretty weird analogy. Stick with me on it because it's kind of a long one. The reason I want you to stick with me on it is this is a big part of Christianity. If you'll stick with me for about 5 minutes on it, I think you'll understand something deeper that's hard to grasp with Christianity. So Jesus wants to give us goodness, not just take away evil. And here's me, a goofy picture of me. So here's me and a bicycle. I look very cool. I'm sure you guys all want to find, like, where do I get one of those reflectors? About a year and a half ago, I started riding a bicycle quite a bit. And probably when I leave my house now, it's more often I'm riding a bicycle than driving a car. So Why did I start doing that? Well, in the past, I used to run about 2 miles a day or so, nothing crazy. And basically, the reason I was running was kind of just like a bare minimum to, you know, not get diabetes or have a heart attack or something. You know, I wasn't like trying to climb mountains. And the reason I switched to riding a bicycle was I thought the same thing. Like, I just want to have some physical fitness so I don't have a heart attack in 10 years or something, you know. So just trying to avoid some evil. What I didn't expect was all these really good things that are kind of bizarre that came to my life through riding the bicycle each day. So some of them you probably could guess. Obviously, if you ride the bicycle more, you pay less for all your car maintenance and stuff. You pay less in gas stuff. So there's a little bit of money saving, a little bit better for the environment. That stuff's kind of obvious. But one of the first weeks I was riding the bicycle, I'm riding my bicycle over on Main Street just south of the square, and there's this black guy about my age riding a bicycle as well. And normally, in everyday life, like if I'm in a car, I never meet anybody, obviously. And even if I'm at like Aldi or something, like if I would have passed that guy at Aldi, we wouldn't have said a word to each other. If I was walking and we passed each other on the street, I might have been like, hi or something, but that would have been it. But since we're on a bicycle, we had like a 5-minute conversation about bike shops and about how messed up his chain was on his bike and some other stuff we were talking about, you know. But it was just a random real conversation, though. Like, it was an acquaintanceship kind of started there. I just thought, like, that's interesting. Like, I'm talking to people I never expected to talk to because of this thing. Stick with me here. So then I also thought, when I started riding the bike, I thought, how am I going to fit this into my daily schedule? And I was worried about that because I struggle with being late sometimes. If you set up meetings with me, you might know that. I'm working on it. But so normally, if I'm late trying to get to the church really fast, if I'm in my car, it takes me about 10 or 12 minutes to get to the church. And Sherry's actually not up there right at the moment, our police officer, so that's good. Because so sometimes when I'm running late, then maybe I don't always obey the speed limit and things like that. But it's still, 23rd Street has so many stoplights. I mean, it doesn't matter how fast you try to drive, I only take like a minute or two off my time. So I really don't save myself the 5 minutes I'm trying to get. And instead, I get to church and I'm super kind of stressed because I've been trying to go as fast as I can. So I'm just like gas brake the whole way here. And I get here stressed. Well, on the bicycle, if I'm 5 minutes late, like, and I try to hurry, like, I can actually go a lot faster on the bike than I normally go. So I can actually make up the time. I didn't expect that. But then another thing I didn't expect is when I'm stressed and rushing in a car, there's nowhere for that adrenaline to go, and you show up somewhere stressed. When I'm stressed and rushing in the bike, my body is like, this is how stress is supposed to work. Like, if you get stressed, then your adrenaline's supposed to have somewhere to go. Your body's supposed to have some sort of response. So I actually get somewhere, and I don't feel stressed when I get off the bicycle. My body and my brain are like on the same page instead of on different pages. Didn't expect that. So as I've gotten older, you guys, I'm sure, have all noticed this too. When you're a little kid, you know, when you're 3 feet tall, a week seems like forever, you know, and a month is super far. But, I mean, I'm 32, and already, like, life is going super fast. And, like, the seasons seem to just pass faster than a week passed when I was in first grade. Well, when I was riding the bicycle, I discovered something I didn't think was possible, was that stuff seemed to actually slow down. Like, the seasons seem long to me now. Like, when fall happens, I don't only just say, like, oh, the trees changed and now fall's over. You know, it doesn't just seem like it just snaps by. It's like, nope, I remember when that tree turned yellow and I saw it go through the whole, you know, a little bit of it's yellow and then it's all yellow and then it's brown and then the leaves are off. Like, and I see that for all the different colors for the fall. Or this spring, like, I saw exactly the morning that someone in first service had to tell me what the name of the flower was. But daffodils, apparently. I learned a new flower today. But daffodils sprang up, like, overnight in Independence. So, like, there was one day when they weren't here, or at least they weren't yellow. And then there's a day when they all bloomed. And, like, I noticed that, whereas I'd never noticed that in the past, you know? So, like, I know what's happening with the weather and the seasons, and, like, life seemed to slow down. And I thought that wasn't possible. I thought as you got older, it just got faster and faster and faster. I have this hobby of, I like to go hiking. I don't do it all that often, though. And so every fall, buddies and I go hiking down in Arkansas. And I used to think, like, oh, running probably kind of gets me in shape for hiking. And I actually thought the first time I went hiking after I'd been riding the bike, I thought, I bet I'm going to be even more sore than normal after this. And what I didn't expect, I guess because biking is like I bike longer. I don't even know why. I don't know if it makes your calves stronger or what. But hiking, like I get a lot less sore when I hike for some reason than when I used to just run a couple miles. So like hobbies that I used to think, oh, this is going to be worse once I make this change, actually turned out to be better. Maybe you can already, if you're a really smart person, maybe you're already jumping ahead and thinking like, maybe hobbies that I think Jesus is going to make lame, Jesus will actually make better. Maybe you're making that connection. If you're smart, if you're not, that's okay. I'll explain stuff when we get there a little later. So two more points on the bicycle, and then we'll stop talking about bicycles. Sorry. No, this has been long. Edmund's like, I'm tired of the bike. So two more thoughts. One is, I know a lot of you folks in the room, and something that's true about a lot of folks in the room is not everybody has a ride to Maywood every time they want to come, and that's okay. But a problem I run into is almost everybody knows me, and when someone needs a ride, it seems like I'm one of the top three people that everybody reaches out to when they want a ride. It's like, that's not a sustainable model, you know? like that's not possible, you know? And so now that I ride the bike, though, like, it doesn't have pegs on the back, and so there's no rides for somebody when I'm on the bike. So someone calls a lot of times, like, well, I rode the bike, so I can't, or someone asks, like, after a group. So on one hand, on a selfish hand, like, I'm not given as many rides, and maybe that's just mean me, a terrible pastor, you know, that's okay. So that is messed up. So it's not... I'm working still. I'm perfecting. So Jesus is working on me. But, so that's one side of it. Here's another side I didn't expect, though, with the bike. So the thing about a ride is it meets somebody's need to get home. That's true. But it's also an opportunity. When you're in a car one-on-one with somebody, you got 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, and you can start to become friends. You can start to become someone's sponsor or someone's mentor, or you can get somebody plugged into your small group. But the reality is, if I give 50 people a ride, like, I can't be 50 people's close friend or 50 people's mentor. And if my small group gets 50 people in it, like, it'll be a disaster. Like, that's not a good thing either. So we always talk about being coaches, and I feel like that's what God's called me to do. That's my job. So by riding the bicycle, it actually forces me to say, I can't give you a ride. I don't have pegs. And but I know this other person who is in a small group that might be a good fit for you. I know this other person who I know went through something similar to you or might be a good friend or whatever. But I'm able to, like, coach people, kind of open that door for other people to make a good connection. And the whole point of Maywood is you guys are supposed to be the star players. Like, if I run around trying to be everybody's hero, then, like, I'm not a good coach, and you guys don't get a chance to be star players. So, like, strangely, the bike made me better at my job. I didn't expect that. Okay, so last thing with the bike is Bob, every once in a while, we talk a lot because we go different places and stuff, not on my bike. He drives, you know, so. But Bob will be driving us somewhere, and we'll tell stories about different things in life, and, like, I'm going to ask him about when did he chew his mouth. Like, I'm going to ask him about that this week. Like, when did that happen? But every once in a while, a weird story will come up of, like, when I was hitchhiking, like I was telling you guys about last week, that'll come up. Or one time I was in a cabin in the rainforest and there was a thunderstorm, and, like, I got flooded out of my cabin. I had to sleep, like, outside on a balcony, like, in the rainforest. So, like, weird stuff has happened to me, like, these weird adventures. And Bob and other people a lot of times would be like, what? Like, you look like a really nerdy, like, straight-laced, kind of cowardly guy, honestly, Jake. Like, you know, like, where are these stories coming from? Like, did that stuff really happen? And yeah, it did happen. So I have this, like, kind of drive inside of me to do these little adventures. And when I was 16, I did them in one way. And when I was 22, I did them in one way. But honestly, like, at 32, I can't go hang out in a rainforest right now. And Chrissy would kill me if I went hitchhiking, you know. So things had to change. But with biking, I found, actually, there's been certain things I've done on the bike that have been adventures. You know, Chris Weeks can tell you about me getting hit with hail at one point, yeah, when I was on the bike. Like, he drove past me when I looked like a crazy person. And there's been certain things I've done that, like, I wasn't sure if I was going to succeed. And there's, like, kind of an adventure to that. When you're doing something physical and you might actually fail at it, that kind of struck a chord with me. So strangely, like things really deep inside of me, this started to help. So do you remember all the way back over here, I said the reason I started riding a bike, what was it? Not have a heart attack. Thank you, lady on the front row. So not have a heart attack. And then came all the way over here, and I just bored everyone in the room about, like, oh, my gosh, Jake, stop talking about everything that a bike is so good with. So that the whole reason I told this crazy analogy is when you start following Jesus, you might just say, like Donnie said, Lord, save me from meth. And that might be all you're asking. But as Donnie is finding out, and as you guys can find out if you obey Jesus, you're going to say, wow, I didn't expect Jesus to help my financial life. I didn't expect Jesus to make me treat the environment better. I didn't expect Jesus, these hobbies that I thought would be lamer with Jesus are actually better with Jesus. I didn't expect Jesus to help me meet people in a new way or form better relationships than I've had in the past. I didn't expect Jesus to get that I need adventure or I need something else, and he gave it to me. I didn't expect that Jesus would do all this other stuff for me. A lot of us just want to be away from evil, and that's not what Jesus came to give us. In John chapter 10, Jesus talks about Satan, and he says Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to do bad stuff in your life. And if you're following your own selfish desires, you're playing right into his hand. But when Jesus defines himself, he doesn't say, and I came to keep you safe from Satan. That's not a verse in the Bible. Like, there's no verse in the Bible about, like, I came to just help you avoid everything that's evil and be really, really safe. Jesus defines himself. He says, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If you start following Jesus, you'll have the same little journey of discovery that I had of, like, wow, I didn't expect Jesus to help all these different areas of my life. Yeah, exactly. So you're here today, and you're trying to figure out what to do in your life. And you have to figure out, like, why do I want Jesus? And do I want him to do more than just set me free? Bob talks to us about Jesus wants to be our friend, and we use this analogy of the arm thing. In that same passage of Scripture where Jesus says, I'm your friend, in John 15, he says, remain in my love. Like, I love you, but if you obey my commands, you can remain in my love. Jesus is going somewhere, and it's somewhere really good. And he wants to go there with you. But if you're like, well, but I'm going to go shack up with my girlfriend tonight and then figure it out with Jesus tomorrow. Or, oh, I'm going to lie to somebody tomorrow to try to make me look good. Or I'm going to gossip about, did you hear what somebody else was praying about today at Sunday school? I'm going to go gossip about that this afternoon. If you go that way, then Jesus says, like, well, my love's over here. And you can come back anytime you want. But you're over there, away from me. We're going to end in a benediction. It's a fancy word, but what it means is that I'm going to pray, and you guys get to open up your hearts and say, yes, God, that's what I want. I want that in my life today. So let's pray. May Jesus set you free, and may Jesus give you the power to set others free, and may Jesus fill you with life, life that's so much better than you ever could have imagined. Amen. If something happened in your heart today and you want to pray with somebody, there will be some small group leaders up here to pray. You guys have a great afternoon.